Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to turn our attention today to talk about investing, and especially for women. And we are really excited. Janet Bodner is our guest today, editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, Kiplinger.com, and the book, Money Smart Women. And there's also a weekly column, Money Smart Kids. So very excited to have Janet on the program. She is the editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, nationally recognized expert in the field of children and family finances, financial literacy, and of course, today's subject, women and money, and the author of two books, Money Smart Women and Raising Money Smart Kids. That's a great theme. I like that. And her Smart Kid column appears regularly on Kiplinger's.com. Hundreds of media interviews, well, 101 now because we have her today. Regular contributor to WTOP and the major all-news radio station in Washington, D.C. And look, just tons of experience and well-regarded within our industry. And so glad to have you on the program, Janet. Welcome.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me.
My pleasure. This is a subject that is really, I have to tell you, I'm really close to because I do a lot of financial planning work for couples and for divorced, single, widowers. And, you know, the subject of women and money and the differences between how men and women approach money is really interesting and relevant to me in the work we do here. So I'm so glad to have you on to talk about it. I know that there's been a lot of research, and Kiplinger's not long ago partnered with Investment News to do a survey, and you had some really interesting results that some of these differences that really were illuminated with this study. What pretty remarkable stuff, wasn't it?
Yes, it really was. You know, and it was interesting. I think we were interviewing our readers, and so our readers, Kiplinger readers, may be a little bit different from the general public, probably a little bit more financially savvy than the general public. But you know, there were some interesting. For example, there were some similarities in that they all felt very comfortable with investing in stocks and investing in mutual funds, which I think is something that you would probably not find among the general public. But, you know, again, men within this study, the men were more likely than women to say that they had an above average risk tolerance. Women were a little bit less likely to say that unless they were a high net worth woman. And then they said that they were more likely to say that their risk tolerance was above average. And an unmarried woman with a high net worth was more likely to say that she had an above-average risk tolerance, possibly because she was on her own,
right,
managing her own money, and she had investable assets, so she was taking a great interest in them. So that was an interesting
thing. That is interesting. You're not really surprised that the men all graded themselves as above-average, are you?
In fact, you know, I just answered a reader letter today asking about that very thing. He was chuckling about this.
Yeah.
And it's like all the children in Lake Wobegon are above average.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's like, well, if everybody's also above average, then I don't, where's the average?
But exactly.
No, well, no, it's well taken. And so you did speak to one of the interesting things I found in looking over this study to talk with you today is that a lot of people are also very involved with learning more about personal finance from publications, watching television, and also the thing that I think is wonderful to see, and this is where the men, of course, could also could learn something here about women really engage with financial advisors and asking them questions.
Yes, they do. In fact, what we did was we asked the survey folks, well, you know, where do you get most of your financial information? Well, obviously, there are subscribers, and so the numero uno thing on the list was from publications and websites.
Sure.
But then they got to select from a whole list of possibilities. And coming up as a close second, men were more likely than women to watch financial news on television, but women were more likely than men to ask questions of a financial advisor or to talk to friends and family. So they're looking to get more information from people they feel comfortable with.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And I think there's more of a, well, I think you probably had some things reveal in the study about how much there's interaction and connection with women as opposed to maybe the men being a little bit more isolated or kind of looking for that expertise as opposed to it being more collaborative. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the things that in the cover story that we did that went along with this study, which was The Secrets of Women Investors, are that they are willing to do more research, number one, and they are willing to seek out second opinions and third opinions from people they trust. So it is very helpful in making investment decisions, and it helps them get better returns on their investments. It's something that, you know, that men could learn from women about, you know, being just a little more collaborative and seeking outside advice and not trying to be, you know, the lone wolf doing it on your own.
Well, and there, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Of course, as you know, Janet, it's cultural. It's there's, you know, there's a lot of, as it relates to, and this is all evolving and changing right before our eyes in terms of roles within families. And it's interesting to me that I've noted how often, and I just had a meeting that was evidenced this fact that, you know, with women being much more involved and even in often taking the lead in the financial discussions or the financial planning for their families.
Well, you know, one of the complaints that women have about financial advice and financial advisors is that they often feel that they are not talked to, that when they go in as part of a couple, the advisor doesn't talk to the woman. You know, he or she, for that matter, will talk to the man, thinking that the man is the person in charge. I'd be kind of interested to them. You're an advisor. What is your experience? I mean, how do you interact with a couple if you're interviewing someone, and do you get the feeling that either one or the other member of this couple is sort of taking a back seat and is not fully engaged?
Yeah, I'll be happy to send you the $20 for that question. Thank you very much, Janet. No, it's a great question, and I'm very proud to tell you that I've always been very tuned in engaging both members of a couple and making sure that they're both involved. I've had situations, I'll answer your question this way. I've had situations where I've actually said to a man, okay, we've met a couple times, your wife needs to be at the next meeting or we're not having the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I talk to couples, I think it's just so critical to get both of them talking and engaged and conversing. And because I can't really get a good sense for what they need without both of them talking to me about what they need. And I'll very often stop them and ask them questions and make sure I'm asking the one that traditionally may not have been involved, be it the wife. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm seeing more and more of a trend of the woman is much more involved in maybe making the decisions and leading decisions. And even if financial advisors, Janet, don't do it because it's, you know, they're not understanding how important the planning part of it is and understanding the clients, they should at least do it and be cognizant of the fact that if you don't build a relationship with both members of that couple, that, you know, there's a statistic that over 70% of widows change advisors after their spouses die.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you something?
Yep.
In 19 years, only two women have left, and I can remember them off the top of my head, after their husbands died. Everyone else stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were engaged and talking with them. So, and they already knew that we were going to update the plans and help them plan for them and their survivor needs. And 80% of women die a widow, and 70 or 80% of men die married.
Mm-hmm.
So the statistics are out there. So thank you for that question, because there really is a strong need here for recognition within the financial community. The fact that when you ask the question, I think financial advisors in general are still not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing?
Well, that's what we hear. That is exactly what we hear. That, you know, and also the industry is trying to attract more women to be financial planners, another aspect of it. But interestingly enough, though, when I've given talks to groups of women or groups of financial advisors, the women clients themselves do not say that they particularly want to work with a woman financial advisor. And in fact, we found that in our very own study. They did not say that they wanted to particularly work with women. They just wanted to work with somebody who listened to them.
Exactly.
And, listen to me.
Yeah,
listen
and the conventional wisdom or thought is that, well, if it's a woman, she'll listen to the woman. And that may not necessarily be true either. What we need is not necessarily more women being financial planners, although that would be great, but more people, regardless of their gender, paying attention and listening and speaking to the woman and understanding what her needs are. And you got to anticipate down the road how this all may need to change.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, do you find, I mean, you said that things are changing, but when a typical couple comes in to interview with you,
yeah, sure.
Do you find that, generally speaking, it is the man who takes the lead and the woman sort of is in the background? Or is it a 50-50-50, you know,
it's,
kind of thing?
It's probably still... and again, it may be this is not statistically, what do they say, statistically valid because it's a sample of one here, but it may be because of our reputation and maybe the clients we attract. But I'm right now probably running about 60-40 where it is maybe the man who takes a little more of the lead in the conversation, but it doesn't last very long because my questions are to both of them.
Right.
And I don't really, it's kind of subconscious now. I don't really think about it so much as I'm eliciting responses from both of them. That it very quickly becomes 50-50. What's notable, Janet, is that I have more and more situations where the woman comes in and takes the lead. And that is very interesting to me, and it's kind of neat to be in this place in our timeline, you know, in the world today, to see that kind of unfolding over the last couple of decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very interesting. It's good stuff, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how all this comes into play, and I'm glad you're here to talk to us about it. We need to grab a break. We'll come right back. Janet Bodner, ladies and gentlemen, editor of Kiplinger Personal Financial Magazine, Kiplinger.com, also author of two books, Money Smart Women and Raising Money Smart Kids. And get all that on the website. Check it out, Kiplinger.com. Quick break. We'll come back right back and talk with Janet. Stay right there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, president and managing partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222. Or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Have you considered an annuity as part of your retirement plan? Did you know that over the past several years, Americans put trillions of dollars into annuities? But despite their popularity, many people aren't sure about annuities. Why? Because annuities have been attacked for decades by financial folks who offer competing products or services. A lot of money is at stake, so some financial firms who only offer investments don't want you to consider an annuity. Get the facts. Find out about this valuable financial resource. Call Holland Financial today and get your free copy of Annuities as Part of Your Retirement Plan at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440. For more information.
And welcome back. Janet Bodner on the line with me, editor of Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. Go to Kiplinger.com. You can, of course, sign up for the magazine. And according to well-regarded research, add 10, at least 10 points of investing IQ to your score. Right, Janet?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what the numbers show. I think that, knowledge is power. And, you know, the other thing I've noted is that you mentioned about the reading and learning. And I've written a couple books myself. And one of the things I've noticed, and again, this is just a sample of one here, but I've noted a lot of interest from women, even as much or more than the men, about reading those books and being, hey, this is great. I'll read this, and then when I come back in, I'll be a little bit more aware and more tuned in. So there's an eagerness for information.
You know, a couple of things. I once, in my book, actually, in Money Smart Women, I wrote about a study that, I believe it was a bank that did this study of financial advice and financial advisors. And what they discovered was that if an advisor asks a man to, you know, make a decision or invest in a product or do something, and the man says, I'll think about it, it usually means no. It usually means I don't, you know, I'm really not interested right now.
Agreed.
Don't bother me.
Right.
You know, no. But if you if a woman says, I'll think about it, she means, I'll think about it, literally.
Exactly.
Right? Would
right.
you agree with that?
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I can tell you also, Janet, you'll find this kind of funny. One thing I also know about women when I'm talking to them is when I'm talking to a man, he's nodding his head, he's agreeing with me. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking to a woman and she's nodding her head, she's continuing to give me permission to speak. She's not agreeing with me. So, okay. So there are differences as it relates to investing and financial planning. Really, there are.
It's really true. I mean, there really is. There is a difference. When we did this story on our cover story on the secrets of women investors, of course I heard from some of our male readers saying, oh, I hope you don't turn this into a woman's magazine. And,
right.
you know, stocks are stocks and bonds are bonds, and they're the same for everyone. And, of course, they are. The products are exactly the same. But the men and women just approach the whole subject of investing in with a different mindset, different approach. And then they use the products frequently in different ways. I mean, we haven't talked about this yet, but for women, as you mentioned, well, you did mention this, that 80% of women are, you know, die widows. Right.
Right. Right.
Longevity is an issue for women.
Absolutely.
They know they're going to be the survivor on
right.
their own.
Right.
You know, and so how are they going to provide for their financial finances, you know, on that basis?
Well, and that's another point in the research that you had with, it was Investment News, correct?
Right.
And that one of the other studies was that their number one personal financial goal for women was to retire with financial security and peace of mind. And that peace of mind is peace of mind that I won't run out of money.
Right, exactly.
Right? And mm-hmm. men, this is interesting, you know, men more than women interested in leaving a legacy. So mm-hmm. a little bit more of, okay, that's all well and good. You want to leave money to the kids, but mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to survive you likely, and let's make sure my needs are met first, if you don't mind.
Right, yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it's very interesting how those things, and I can tell you from a financial planner's perspective doing this, Janet, that's very much on the mind and very much in the discussions that we've got to address longevity, survivorship, the changes with Social Security, pensions, other things, and then if all that is taken care of for the survivor, yes, fine, well and good, leaving money to the kids, but we've got to get those priorities in order.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And men don't necessarily, oh, geez, there's so many things to talk about on this. One of the things a couple things I always bring up is, for example, spousal IRAs. You know, now this is something that most men don't really even think about, I would venture to say. But they're extremely, and it's usually a footnote on a page in a book about, you know, IRAs. But, you know, for a stay-at-home spouse, this is really critical. Because you can have your own, you as a woman, and again, things are changing nowadays, but traditionally the woman is the stay-at-home spouse. She can have her own retirement savings, you know, and if the two of you are together and you retire together as a couple, then you've really doubled down on retirement savings, because presumably you, the male working spouse, has your own retirement money, but then your wife also has retirement money. So that's money in both your pockets. But if something, God forbid, should happen to you, then your wife has her own money that
Absolutely.
She can, you know, use for retirement. And that's really critical and probably something that a lot of men don't think about top of mind, I should say. But for women, that's really important. Another thing is long-term care insurance. I always use this line
huge.
When I talk, I say for men, their wives are their long-term care insurance.
Right.
You know, I mean, they figure, you know, she's going to be here to take care of me, so why should I spend thousands of dollars a year on a, you know, long-term care insurance policy? But for women, they're thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be on my own, and I could be living in an assisted living residence or, you know, who's going to take care of me? So it's very important.
100%, Janet. And, you know, I'm going to amend what you said about the men saying, why should I spend money on long-term care insurance? My wife can take care of me. And then I'm going to add another phrase to that, when I could spend that on something else. Okay? That's actually very common. I hear that. And it's like, well, and it's the responses are very interesting. Well, you know, I don't need it. We don't think we'll need it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Or there's also a little bit of this bravado, again, just to kind of, you know, people can relate to this, that sometimes one of the couples, usually the man, when this is said, is the man who says, well, no, hey, I got a plan for that. I'm going to take care of that myself, you know, implying that they'll just, you know, kill themselves. And I said, that's fine. But what if you think the banana is the gun and it doesn't work? What if you aren't, I mean, what if you don't have your mental faculties? I mean, so your plan cannot be to take yourself out. But, you know, what is really important is, and I just addressed this recently, Janet, with a couple, husband is not going to be able to get insurance based on his health. Mm-hmm. Wife could. And then they're like, well, so should we get it? I'm like, guess what? You even more than a regular couple need it, because he's likely to need care. You're going to, and so if he goes in, you're going to need insurance to pay for your care, because he will have depleted the assets for his care, or turn it around, you need to have insurance to take care of your needs so that the assets can be preserved for him, because he can't get insurance. It's just so important. I rest my case.
Yeah. And people don't, you know, and that's the kind of thing that people as a couple need to hear, you know, because it's so easy to just think about of yourself, you know, in your own terms, whether you're a man or a woman, you know, and not think about, oh yeah, gee, that could really happen to us, you know, and how much of this can we finance on our own, and how much,
right.
And obviously the policies, especially with regard to long-term care, are getting more and more expensive.
Right.
So how much of this can we finance on our own? Can we fill the gaps? What's the best way to do this? Can we get a policy that, you know, where we could shared care, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Number of years. So there are things that you can do to lower the bill.
Absolutely.
You know, and to just cover the needs as you see them without breaking the bank, so that you could spend some of the money on something else.
Yeah, you know? And you don't have, and not everybody has to have long-term care. And all I ask for, Jan, and I think you would agree with this, is just to have a conversation, and let's just look at it actively instead of dismissing it. And after the discussion, if you decide as an informed consumer that you don't want it, fine. But at least let's talk about it honestly and not just dismiss it, right?
Right, exactly. Just you know, just so you've thought it, you're right, just think about it, and then make an informed decision one way or the other.
Very good. Janet Bodner, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, editor of Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, Kiplinger.com. A couple of great books on the, also available, Money Smart Women and Raising Money Smart Kids. Stay right there. Quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Janet.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And we're back with Janet Bontner on the line, editor of Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. And I wanted to ask you, Janet, how long at Kiplinger's?
Well, I have been editor of the magazine since 2009.
Okay.
I joined Kiplinger before then, but I've been editor since 2009.
Wow. Well, even since 2009, you know, going on 7 years, you probably have seen a lot of things change and some of these dynamics that we're talking about and evolving world of finance and especially, you know, people's role within it.
Yeah, really, that's true. That's very true. You know, one thing that's interesting, and it's kind of like talking, sort of like what we've been talking about, when I originally wrote my Money Smart Women book, which was in 2006, I think it was much more common that women were the, you know, perhaps the stay-at-home member of the family, you know, if there was going to be a stay-at-home spouse. And in divorce situations, for example, it was
sure.
very common that, you know, the woman was kind of left with, I shouldn't say left with nothing, but it was a very bad situation for her financially because she didn't have a lot of resources on her own. And she was, you know, if there was any bitterness in the situation, it was always the wife trying to get the most,
yeah.
the maximum financial security that she could out of the end of this relationship. And now you're just seeing things change. Frequently now it is the man who will stay at home, at least for a time with the children. And with both men and women in the workforce, if there's a divorce situation, it's often the men who are saying, hey, you know, you have assets that I need for my own financial security.
Right.
So things have really changed a lot in the last 10 years since the book originally came out.
Interesting, isn't it? And we're also seeing, we've only got about a minute left here, Janet, but I can't miss this opportunity to talk about within the context of women and investing and what we're seeing. And you spoke of divorce. We're seeing the graying of divorce and many more divorces. The percentage is going up of divorce at older ages. And I am seeing more women come to me to meet with me, talk about their personal finances, who have been divorced and who are now, you know, they've gotten their share of the marital assets and whatever other assets they may have on their own. And now they are planning in a very self-determined way, planning their financial futures.
You know, I have a good friend who's in that situation, actually one of my coworkers here, and I quoted her in the book because she said, you know, she feels that she's captain of her own ship now. And
yeah.
it was a situation where when she was married, her husband did, for the most part, take care of the finances, and now she's in charge, and she's discovering a lot of things he did that weren't so smart. And she's trying to be very smart about it. And since, of course, she's affiliated with Kiplinger, she knows what to do because
yes.
she reads the magazine.
It helps.
But,
that's right.
Yes.
Well, she took the offer of raising her investing IQ points.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Janet Bontner, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest today, editor of Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, Kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER.com. And a couple great books, too, from Janet, Money Smart Women and Raising Money Smart Kids. Janet, great conversation with you. I'd love to have you back, and we'll do it again. And if I could be a resource to you, I'd love to help.
That would be great. I'd really appreciate that.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.